In a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom flat shared between 9 people in Covina, California, music served as an escape. It was 1972, and at 13 years old, before my dad could drive a car or before he ever got the makeshift garage bedroom all to himself, he found the perfect way to dodge frequent sibling scuffles. He decided to teach himself how to play the guitar. Anytime his brothers or sisters got on his nerves, he'd just sneak out back, work out some chords, and teach himself all by ear. My dad eventually took to singing and taught himself to play the piano, too. And now that he's not sharing his home with 6 siblings anymore, he can have the living room that's largely occupied by his vintage light oak, upright grand piano. It's got a broken B and C key at the far right of the keyboard, the keys that are so high they sound like angel whispers anyway. They've been broken for as long as I can remember, but the piano certainly doesn't gather dust. Music has continued to remain as an escape for my dad to this day, and though he tried to bring it into my life, too, my relationship with music has always looked pretty different. Or at least I thought. I had my dad's ear. This was something I always knew. He put me in piano lessons in early elementary school, and I was pretty decent at it, but it still felt like an obligation more than anything. And so foolishly, selfishly, for some reason that I can only retrospectively chalk up to adolescent defiance, I quit. As I saw it, music was always something I felt I did for my parents, for my dad. Middle school came around, and I decided to take choir to make up for it. So for 3 years, I was an alto too. I even got bumped up to sing in the a cappella honor choir, but as I faced the transition to high school, I made the same mistake again. I told my parents, I don't think I want to sing anymore. That last spring concert still came. We were on stage in our awful, bright choir gowns, singing our final performance together, my last performance maybe ever. As we sang the final song, I felt something come over me. It was warm but overwhelming, and I felt it from my gut. We were singing O Shenandoah, the lamenting folk song with no traceable origin or author. And as our voices began to fill the auditorium, this strange sensation was running through me, similar to the Missouri River that we were singing about, unchecked and unrelenting. Tears began to well up in my eyes, and I started losing control of my diaphragm, which I desperately needed at the moment. My eyebrows furrowed to fight the tears, but the corners of my mouth started to droop, making the physical act of singing even more difficult. The end was coming, thank God, but I was losing. I was giving in to the music. This was it. Somewhere in the blur of that moment, our voices stopped, the applause came, and we exited stage right. My friends were backstage, hugging and jumping, but I struggled to play off my excitement. My parents greeted me outside of the auditorium where the other families waited for their kids. My mom hugged me and gave me a little nudge. You were crying, weren't you? I blush and admit that, yes, I was. I was embarrassed. I had been vulnerable. And it was in that moment that I knew I had to put music in a box. I felt fine about my decision for a while. But as I've grown up, it's started to eat at me. Once a year or so, my dad will sullenly ask me if he'll ever hear me play the piano again. I give him a vague, I don't know, or a maybe, even though I do know. I know good and well that I won't be able to avoid it much longer. Soon, the music will come for me again, the same way it did on stage that day in 8th grade. The way it swoops you up when you least expect it, but most need it. And I'll embrace it this time. This time, I'll make it my escape.